So my name is Stephanie, for those who don't know me. And just to introduce a bit of myself, this is my family. This is my husband, Joshua, and my three-year-old son, Elijah. So thank you, Pastor Mark, for this opportunity to share some of my reflections and lessons I've been learning. So just to look back, 2025 was not an easy year for me. Midway through the year, I faced retrenchment. And even though it's not my first time, I still took things personally and I struggled because I enjoyed what I did at work and also had good relationships with the people I worked closely with. Around the same time I was retrenched, I also found out that we were expecting. I was thankful that God has answered prayers for an addition to the family, but was also worried about how we can be sustained financially and how I could find a job in this situation. My first trimester of my pregnancy was a pretty dark time as I was an emotional wreck. I had very bad morning sickness. It was not just in the morning, it was all day. And I've also experienced bone-crushing fatigue, and I just felt very lousy. I was not able to do the things that I used to be able to do in this period of time. After the first try, things got better, but due to a pre-existing condition of a narrowed blood vessel in my abdomen area, which affects blood flow to the lower part of the body, my doctors were extra careful and did a scan in November and found out that I have a tear in my aorta. This medical term is called aorta dissection. And it was a worrying time because whenever I Googled that, right, or anything related to that, it seemed like a medical emergency. But thank God, at the latest scan, the doctor assured me that all is all right. Baby is getting enough blood flow, and there was no need for any intervention of any kind at the moment. So in summary, my 2025 was a roller coaster, right? There were job challenges and physical challenges that took a toll emotionally and spiritually. And there were some things that I didn't understand why it happened then and there. But I am reminded, as Pastor Mark has been teaching, God's ways are so profound. Ultimately, God has the prerogative. He can give and He can also take away. I have been humbly reminded that whatever I have does not belong to me. This life I live, this life in me, the people I love, job opportunities that may come and go, and doors He might close, right? And they are all in God's hands. He is sovereign over all things and in control. Even in these trying moments and what I consider dark times, I can still trace God's hand and feel His presence. After I was retrenched, out of nowhere, three ex-colleagues from different places reached out to me and asked if I could help with their projects. To me, it was like a George Mueller moment when needs were met and prayers answered. The Lord also provided a special helper, Josh, not my helper at home, but you know, my partner. who would quietly do all the heavy lifting at home, sacrificing his time and sleep, and would be with Elijah on some Saturdays so that I can be here and be spiritually nourished and encouraged through the challenges I faced. For God's provision and the support through loved ones along the way, I am deeply grateful. These verses, but as for me, I trust in you. O Lord, I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. As I recalled how the Lord has provided for me and my family in many ways, I am compelled to trust in Him in this new year and to know that my life and my times are in His hand. On my part, I hope to work on many practical aspects of my faith to seek to fail him, like the man described in Psalm 112, and to choose what is right and wise in my life. Some of you may know, but I'm the same age as the Lord Jesus when he died on the cross. And as I looked at my life, I also reflected on how I have been living. British missionary C.T. Studd said, "Only one life till soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." And this new year will probably not get any easier, but I'm hoping to make it count, to start each day with the Lord's thoughts and his words, and not my own. And this will be quite challenging, because if God wills, with a newborn baby, some of you may know, there is no day and night. Okay, so mornings are very tough, because where is the morning? Is it 3 a.m. when you're feeding your baby, or the next feed, 6 a.m.? Right. So I also hope to spend my time more meaningfully and honor God through what I do. So instead of scrolling through Instagram for life hacks and must-haves, I hope to read more Christian literature and parenting books so that I can be a more godly parent and helper at home. The song that we'll be singing today is a personal reminder for me to still my heart during challenging times and to look to God when things turn out the way I cannot comprehend. So I chose this song, "Be Still My Soul, In You I Rest," because it reminds us of what we've learned from Psalm 31, that we can trust in Him, we can rest in Him, and we can place our lives in His hands. May we look to God to order and to provide, to undertake and to guide us through life's different and difficult challenges. Okay. I will now hand the time to Pastor Mark.
Truly, indeed, we want to learn how to be still before the Lord. Well, thank you, Steph, for sharing. Well, glad for you that you're learning what it means to trust the Lord and to entrust things into His hands. Okay, a few things before we take up the Lord's word this morning. Well, just want to wish all of you a blessed and joyous new year. Hope the year has begun well for you. So a few things. First of all, we just want to welcome a few people. First of all, we have someone new. We have John. Welcome. Okay, and then we have a few who have come out from YAG1. And then we also have returning members. They are right behind. Hello. Good to see you. or not see you, but... Okay, so just to let the parents know, this is something that we're going to do, right? So those of you who are going to bring your children, we are going to have the YAG projected behind. So we're going to project it on the screen behind. So those of you who we have children and you want to be with your children, that's fine too. Okay. And now for the dates. Okay, so just if you have to look at your calendar, just very quickly, just a few things. So today we begin. Next week it's 10. And today we'll go into our discussion groups. But next week 10, because some of the core members will not be around, so we are going to not go into discussion groups. Now on the 17th, we are going to have a combined meeting with YG1. Okay, so, and it's on that day that we will also celebrate our birthdays. Okay, because of all the weddings that are coming out, we're going to do this earlier for Jan and February. From last year, we also realized those who are having weddings, 24th and 7th, we won't be having YAG. All right, that's just for the first month. Okay. Good. Well, let's just pray and then we can look at today's text. Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for this brand new year. And even as we begin YG, we pray that you will be with us, help us to learn more precious lessons from your word from the book of Ecclesiastes. We pray that you will continue to help us grow our faith, even in the idea of giving thanks. We pray that you will bless our time, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just a very quick review. We've been looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, right? And I hope Ecclesiastes has been a wonderful book for us to study, especially in challenging us concerning life, how we look at life, and how we really need God's perspective, especially when we face the different vagaries of life. So in chapter 9, we looked at the question of the hand of God and the problem of death and its reality. And so that's how we begin this this chapter, right? Now, we're going to go on from verse 4 today. So let's just look at verse 4. But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Okay? Now, what are we going to talk about today? I think when you look at life, oftentimes, and especially when we begin the year, there are aspirations, there are things that we desire, there are things that we want to work towards, which is fine. We recognize that God gives us different blessings, and God gives us things that we pray for, we hope for, and so on. But yet, at the same time, when we look at life, and if for one reason or another, we don't have these things, right? It could be something that you pray for, but it's not given yet, right? Or even that something is given, it is not exactly what you were hoping for. Or it is something that is taken away from us. So that is the reality of life. And the thing is that we often find ourselves in a situation where there is certain things that we lack in life. And we struggle with these things. But yet at the same time, should we not look at the things that we have? So the things that we, you know, that we don't have, and the things that we have. Somehow these things tend to be our focus. But the things that we have, do you correct? The things that we have, we somehow take for granted. So let's look at this. It says here, so for Solomon, he has flashes of understanding, right? He sometimes good thoughts, sometimes, you know, thoughts that could be better. But verse 4, he says, but for him who is joined to all the living, right, there is hope. Now, he makes a comparison with the idea of one who is dead. Now, this few verses is not about the afterlife. It is a comparison about the reality of life and the reality of death. And the thing is that he's not talking about, oh, we should look at the hope of heaven and things. That's not his focus at this point. The focus is actually life itself. And when we look at life itself, that we are alive and we experience things being alive, we ought to be grateful for. Right? So this is something that we want to appreciate, right? Sometimes we take a lot of things for granted. For instance, even our body, right? We take a lot of things for granted. Someone who is much older when you have health that is waning a bit here and there. And I know you're, I mean, you are at an age where you also recognize there are some health issues already, right? Some of you are smiling and so on and so forth. But we don't want to take the body for granted. Okay, let me ask you this question. How many times does the heart beat a year? Do you know this? Anybody? Doctor, do you know? How many times does the heart beat a year? Rough guess. Innumerable. No lah, there's I got a number here. You got a counter. Anyway, it is 35 million times a year. That's how many times your heart beat, roughly, right, according to, right? And if you are in love, then it's more times. Because the heart beats faster, right? Now, some of you are thinking about, right, I need to lose weight, and so on. So let me give you something encouraging. Do you know that every one of us lose 4 kg a year? You don't know that, right? Doctor, also, you don't know that, right? Yeah. Do you know that? You lose 4 kg a year. Why? Do you know that your skin sheds itself and it sheds 4 kg of skin every year? Dead skin. Right? You all didn't know this, right? Yeah, it's, your dead skin will replenish and then new healthy ones will come about and to protect your body and so forth. And so actually, you lose 4 kg every year. So take comfort in that. Yeah. And how many times do we breathe a year? Oh, I won't ask the doctor this time. No lah. How many times? Anybody? Any guess? Gabe? Medical? Must count. Huh? 7 million. Eh, correct. Eh, you got it right. It's 6 to 8 million. So 7 million about that. Wow, very good. Well done. At least you got 1 out of 3, right? Not bad, not bad. And also, a lot of times, if you just take a moment and appreciate what we already have, and life itself is worth appreciating. That we are alive, as opposed to, okay, look at verse 4. He comes out with very interesting comparisons, right? For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Oftentimes, we tend to think a dog and a lion is far better, right? A lion is strong, powerful, roars, and everything else. But what is a dead lion? Dead lion is dead, right? Dead. So a dog that is humbler is better being alive. That's what Solomon is trying to get across. So this way, when I was walking, I came across this lady was walking her dog and then, you know, came across this house. Suddenly, this big dog, fierce, you know, came out and then at the gate there and started barking and this other smaller dog, wow. Retreated straight away, and I was just walking behind. And, you know, I'm sure the small little dog will be scared like anything and so on and so forth. But the difference is you're alive, right? He goes on in verse 4, he says, "For the living know that they will die. But the dead know nothing." What that means? That you can know things. You are alive. You can gain knowledge. So I hope that this year, as you go ahead, looking at gain knowledge, grow in knowledge. Right? Somebody gave me this albatross files. You all know what the albatross files are, right? This book. It's a very thick book. Do you know why is it called albatross? Anybody know? Why is it called albatross? Albatross is a bird, right? But why is it called albatross fowls? See, you all don't know. I know. Right? Because I read the book. But anyway, The reason is because there's this phrase called an albatross round your neck. Okay, go in Google or whatever. What that means is basically, it's like a problem that doesn't go away. It is around your neck. You need to deal with this problem. It is a past that, it's a problem. So the problem was Malaysia. Whether they were going to merge or not, that became a real issue. But they also recognized that if they were to merge, there were certain things that's going to be very difficult. And of course, that is the race problem and so on and so forth. And so it was more of a negotiation rather than we were kicked out. And I think our leaders were very, very wise about it. Knowledge. Knowledge is important. You can gain knowledge. Gain knowledge. Whether it's about the Lord, whether it's about His Word, or about anything. When you're dead, you can't. You can't know anything anymore. And he goes on to say, and they have no more reward. As a person who is living, you do things, you will have your reward. You can get your bonus, you can get all kinds of awards. Be thankful for these things. Right? When you're dead, no bonus. There's nothing that you will receive. It is almost, the way in which Solomon is comparing what it means for us to be alive and to be dead. For the memory of them is forgotten. To those who are dead, sooner or later, no matter how famous, no matter how good, you will be forgotten. Right? That is the reality. So there are many, many things, advantages about being alive. Look at verse 6. Also, their love, their hatred, their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. So it's not about sin and all these things. It's about being able to feel. When you are alive, you can feel love. You can feel hatred. You can feel envy. So it's not about, of course, we don't want to have this kind of feelings. But the point is that you can feel. You can love. You can understand what it means to have very common things, feelings. When you're dead, no more feelings. You know, a person who is actually dying, sooner or later you see, bit by bit, they don't feel anything anymore. That's the reality. But this is an appreciation of life, right? And we can experience things. So what is Solomon trying to get at? The things that life itself ought to be appreciated. Life is so much that, we can actually enjoy. Look at verse 7. Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Eat. Well, of course, we did quite a bit of this during Christmas. Right? Well, trying to keep your weight down is quite a challenge during Christmas. It's good that Chinese New Year is in February. Right? At least some breathing space. If not, very difficult. But we understand. We understand what it means to enjoy the food that we eat, the drink that makes us merry. For God has already accepted your works. You have worked hard, right? 2025, many of you worked hard. At the end of the day, the Lord blesses you. He has accepted your works. He's pleased. Right? And that's something for us to be thankful for. So as we begin the year, it's good for us to just pause for a moment and just be thankful for the life that you have. Because we are seeing the reality of death. And it will come. And it will come in more ways than one. Our loved ones, the people close to us, people facing realities of sicknesses that could be terminal. Well, our hearts goes out to them, and we want to be there for them. But yet at the same time, do we actually take time to really appreciate the life that you have? What we have is there already. What we don't have, it may or may not come. It may or may not be given to us. Nothing wrong with praying for it. Nothing wrong with hoping for it. But let's be thankful for what we have. What is there with you? Okay, Gabe, what do you think? Gabe is always my go-to guy.
Yeah, I think it's easy to get caught up with the things that we don't have or want to have.
Yes, correct.
And I think in the new year, the thing most people do is to set aspirations, right?
Yes,
new
correct.
Year resolutions or yes. aspirations.
Yes.
And a lot of it focuses on what we want to get,
correct.
Want to achieve.
Precisely.
But it's not so much on what we already have and can be thankful for.
Yes.
And I think this message of just being alive actually is something to really appreciate.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Then, you know, so the thing is that how many of us really thank God for the life that we have? Seriously. And so for me, as I grow older, as I see things and I see the things happening to others, you know, definitely your heart goes out to them. And I weep with them. But it also helps me to appreciate the things that we have. Seriously, rather than just to, you know, be upset and you know, disappointed when we don't have the things that we have. Why don't we be thankful? Tomorrow we're going to start a new theme concerning bless the Lord, O my soul. Again, can we not bless the Lord for what we have? For all the benefits that God has given to us. For all the things that He has graciously given to us. And yet, far other than not, our focus is this. We're not focusing on this. Right? And he goes on to say, let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. See? There is joy. Joy in eating and drinking. Joy in the things, the clothes that we have. Right? White, of course, represents purity, righteousness. Even grooming your hair, can we find joy in this? Right? So, sometimes people come to me and ask me, Pastor Mark, how do you keep your hair the way it is? I say, put oil, right? Or put whatever, or spray something that... right? I mean, I appreciate you asking, but... I told the person, every morning I wake up, it's like that already. No, just kidding. But can we find joy in the things that we have? Right? And then we come to verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which she has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity. Now, it's very interesting that Solomon wrote this, considering he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. I don't know what he say, but definitely it's not about his wives, right? But this is something that we want to be able to have. Live joyfully. Okay, so I'm going to ask all those who got married. How many years have you all been married? Okay, Alistair.
3 years and 2 months.
Whoa! 3 years and 2 months. Okay, let me ask you. Yes. Have you been living joyfully with your wife?
Yes, very joyfully.
Okay, let's go behind now. Elena, what do you think?
Must ask my husband.
Oh, you're okay. Okay, let's ask Wei Liang. Okay, let's ask all the men.
Very happy.
Very happy, what? You're very quick to answer. You sure or not? You're very clear. Let's ask Nick. Okay, just only a few weeks. What do you think?
Mix. But most of the time, I'm the one that make her not so joyful. So I'm the cause of it.
No, the question is, are you joyful or not?
That for me, definitely.
Okay. Now, so let me ask you, who has been married the longest around here? Kevin? How many years? Huh? 8.5. Okay, do I hear 9? Anybody beyond? Jerome? No? Huh? Jerome, how many? Huh? 4. So Kevin is the highest, right? Anybody else? Okay. Let me tell you. This year is our 25th anniversary. And I can tell you from my heart, I've been living joyfully. No, but seriously, if you can find that, understanding of what marriage means, 25 years is not a short time. 25 years is a long time, it's quarter of a century. And 25 years of joy, that is something that I can tell you any one of us can experience. And that's something that I've experienced over all these years. And it's something because that, we find joy in each other, we find joy in the Lord, we find joy in the things that we do, and being able to appreciate what we have. Sometimes we, even as a couple, we are looking for certain things in life. Again, nothing wrong in itself. Nothing wrong with asking the Lord for blessings and so on and so forth. But sometimes, again, we focus on this and we lose touch with what we have. I can tell you this. In a context, I've counseled parents and couples before. And I always tell them, who is more important? Your spouse or your children? Big question, right? Who is more important? Both are important, definitely. Right? And the challenge is, if you do not upkeep this relationship that you already have, even if you have children, and of course we all know this, right? You end up with divorce and all kinds of things. You have a problem. So it's really appreciating what you already have. Husbands, appreciate your wives. Wives, appreciate your husbands. Take time to give thanks. Take time as we begin this year. Right, of course, give thanks for your children also. Don't forget them. Sure, definitely. But to me, it is important that you have that relationship, that you maintain that relationship, that you see that relationship as the, the core of the family. Because if you just focus on your children at the expense of your relationship with your husband or your wives, I can tell you this, the family is going to have difficulties along the way. You can still manage things, but there will be difficulties. So it's important for us to learn to establish what it means for us to live. To live with joy, to live with God's blessings, right? And he goes on to say, right? All your days, this vain life. Basically, life is short. Life is short, and you don't want to end up with having all kinds of difficulties, and you know, when we struggle with the things that we don't have. Why don't we take time to really enjoy what we have? Why don't we take time to really appreciate what we have? Because in verse 9 it says, "For that is your portion in life." That is your portion. The word portion oftentimes is associated with inheritance. This is what God has given to you, right? And in the labor which you perform under the sun. So, what is our portion? That we have life. That we have the common things of life. That we have been blessed with feelings. We have, a family, a wife, a husband. That we work and there is reward. And so on and so forth. Oftentimes, we see these things. I mean, in the eyes of many Singaporeans and many people, right? Just to have the common things of life is not enough. We need more. We need this. We need that. And everybody is chasing so many other things. Right? But why don't we just enjoy and appreciate the things that we already have? Again, I'm not saying that you shouldn't aspire for things. But until these things do come, why don't we be thankful instead? Why don't we look at what God has blessed us with? Life itself, provision of food and drink, for work, right? I was talking to someone yesterday and we were just discussing about he lost his job, he was retrenched, and he applied. He's a smart guy and he's been doing well. But nonetheless, he was also retrenched because the bosses changed and they wanted to change things. So he lost his job. And for 4 months, he kept applying. He applied 50 over job applications. None of them replied, as in a private sector. And in the end, one from a stat bot replied. And then he went for an interview and he got a job. And he's just so thankful for that. But we were just talking about how things are going to change. AI is going to change things. Right? Jobs are going to be lost because of AI. And we all recognize this. Things are going to change. And we may lose our job. We may lose certain things in life. But yet, can we not learn to appreciate what we do have? What we have at this point in time. What we have in terms of blessings that God has given to us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. This will be our focus for the month, for Jan and February, for the morning worship. And this is a good place for us to start. And we want to be able to give praise to the Lord for all that he has given to us. It is something that we all take for granted again and again and again. And oftentimes it's only when we lose those things, then we appreciate, right? I mean, someone who recognizes as I grow older, there are things that I cannot do anymore, physically, right? And we all will get there one day or another. Health-wise, work-wise, even ministry-wise. Things are going to change. And it's important for us to recognize our portion in life. What is your portion in life? What do you already have? What is it that God has given to you? What God has led you to? That's your portion in life. And we really want to be able to appreciate that. Right? And really want to be able to see how God has blessed us, and we ought to be truly grateful. Okay? Now we're going to pray and then we can go into our groups and take a bit of time to give thanks, share with each other. Take time to reflect. What is it that God has given to you as your portion in life? And shouldn't we truly be grateful for what we have. Life itself and many, many blessings that we ought to be grateful for. Okay, well, let's pray and then we can go into our groups. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for all that you have given to us. Forgive us, Lord, for oftentimes we have taken things for granted. Because we look at these common things and we think of them as just only common. We do not appreciate them as things that you have given to us. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to rethink about how we are approaching life. We recognize that there are things that we look for, that things that we pray for, and we know that you are a God who blesses us. But yet at the same time, help us to appreciate and not take for granted what you have already given to us. And we ought to bless your name as a result. We pray even as we go into our groups, we pray that you will help us to encourage each other. And even as we give an offering as a response to what you have blessed us with, we pray that you will accept this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.